We're in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. In chapter 6, beginning at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 18. The Word of God says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Today we want to talk about pray. Our topic today is Pray. Allow me to ask you this way. Do you pray? Do you pray? Truth be told, every believer must have a prayer life. Not a prayer, but a prayer life. That is, a life which is centered around communicating with God. Not just in bad times, and not just when we're among the crowd or a group. Not just when we're at church, and not just at dinner time. But every believer must be in communication with God at all times. This particular text, Paul writes, and he's continuing to write this church in Ephesus, helping them to understand the necessity of every believer is to be a praying believer. Remember, he's already given us what is known as the soldier's equipment. He's told us to put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and he's told the breastplate of righteousness, and gird our loins with the belt of truth, and so forth. He has told us that every Christian believer must arm himself for the battle against Satan. But let me help you to understand, Paul does not conclude there. He continues by helping us to understand that with this equipment, in order for it to be activated, in order for it to be impervious to danger, in order for it to be allow us to be strengthened, every believer must have a prayer life. You can have all the equipment you want. But if you don't have prayer in your life, all else fails. He charges us that prayer is our communication with God. Now, wait a minute. It's more than just asking God for things. This word prayer not only means to petition God, but it also involves worship of God. And too often, many times, when we think of prayer, we only think of it as an opportunity for us to ask God, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, make this better. God, take this away. God, put this on it. God, make sure they do this. God, do that. Prayer is not an order list. Prayer is conversation and worship with the Lord. Now get this, every believer who prays ought to understand the power of prayer. And oftentimes the reason why many of us do not pray is because we don't understand the power of prayer. But it is in this particular text that Paul helps us to understand that prayer empowers us to be what God wants us to be, but also empowers us to do what God charges us to do. But thirdly, it empowers us to stand against the works of Satan. You can't beat the devil without prayer. I just need to let you know that. Look, prayer is constant communication with God. I know I've said that three times, but I want you to understand it because I need you to recognize that you can't do anything without being in constant communication with God. Look, everybody here knows, or well, most of you all know, that I don't like airplanes. I don't like riding in airplanes. I do it, but believe me, I don't like it. But there's a couple of things I have discovered about riding in the airplane or as a passenger in the airplane. You know, other than that's those are probably some of my best prayer meetings, but other than that, I've noticed that I've had the opportunity to be able to, they would give you earphones where you can listen to certain music and watch the television and things of that nature. And there are times where you can flip the channel. And in the channel, you can hear the pilot talking. And I discovered that while the pilot is talking, he's just not talking just to talk. He is, while he's flying the airplane, he's in constant communication with the tower. You'll hear him. Now see, he's flying an airplane. He's in the air, and all the while he's saying, and I'm just giving arbitrary numbers, you know, 847 Delta, line, and so forth. And the tower would say, go ahead, 847 Delta. Then he would say, well, you know, it seems like a little choppy here, blah, blah, blah. And you'd hear from the tower, well, go ahead, A47 Delta to 9. Now I'm just arbitrary numbers now. Go ahead and drop to 1,000 feet. And then, look at this. I said the arbitrary numbers. I didn't say I knew how to fly one. I said, go to 47,000 feet. That better? Go to 47,000 feet. And they say, tower. We've gone to a smoother ride, blah, blah, blah. And he's communicating all kinds. Before he makes a move, before he turns, before he goes, he's talking and he's letting the tower know where he is. And the tower says, you can turn. You can drop. You can move. You can accelerate, slow down. And watch this, you would hear the tower say, A47 Delta, there, here comes United 5710 on your left. You got another plane here. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to go over. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to, then watch this. If he gets stormy weather, the tower will say to him, look, you can reroute to go around the storm, A47 Delta.
And the only reason and only way the pilot knows what to do and where to go and how to rewire is because he's in constant communication. Come here. Come here, I want to help you. Prayer is constant communication with God. It is us keeping in constant communication with the man in the tower who continues to let us know you can move, you can reroute, you got something on the left, you got something happening here, but you cannot get the orders if you're not in communication. Now what he says, pray. And so that's really what the text is telling us, as it tells us that believers must pray. And he says believers must pray at all times. Communicate with God at all times. You ought to be talking to the Lord. He says at all times. That's every day. That's, look, when we're tired, you ought to be talking to the Lord. When we don't feel like it, pray. When things, look, can I just tell you something? When everything is going really nice and hunky-dory and everything is and you whistling Dixie and everything is, that's a good time to pray. The pilot don't stop talking to the tower because he's in good weather. He still needs direction from the tower so that he can land the plane. I don't know about you, but many of us have crashed and burned in our lives, have made some wrong landings, have gone in some wrong directions. Help me, Holy Ghost. Many of us, because we've not been listening and we've not been in communication with God. Look, this is what Jesus says in Luke 18. Luke 18 and 1, the scripture says, and the Lord told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. At all times, we ought be praying to the Lord. Every believer must pray. Reverend, I don't know how to pray. I hear you. Truth be told, neither do I. But one thing I do know is that I can conversate with God. See, I don't know how to pray as it pertains to what your model is. And I'm saying that because I want us to understand that prayer is not built on flowery words and built on how good we sound and whether or not other folk gonna shout about it and whether or not other people are into it or not. Prayer, that's not what prayer is. So I don't know how to pray like that. But I do know how to pray. I do know how to talk to God as if he is in my face. And that's what prayer is. I know how to talk to him as though he is my father. I know how to say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know how to talk to him. And why is that white? Because I recognize that he hears me. God not bent up on whether or not you sound good, whether or not you split a verb, whether or not you congregate to now. He not worried about all of that. God just wants to hear from you. So I ask you again, do you pray? Do you talk to God? Do you talk to him? Do you tell him, Lord, it's good to feel you today. It's good to see you today. It's good to be up this morning. Yeah. Do you ever, every once in a while, say, thank you? Yeah. for starting me on my way. Paul says, pray at all times. He says, pray at all times, praying at all times. And then he says, in the spirit. See, let me help you to understand that prayer is a spiritual act. It's not some routine. It's not something we do or that is done haphazardly. It's not something accidental. It's not something that we seek glory from. Can I just back up and just say, it's prayer is not about us. It's done under the influence of the Spirit. You see what he says? He says, in the Spirit, at all times, in the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. Not by our flesh. Prayer not about what we want. It's about commune with God and commune with His Spirit. His Spirit leads us in prayer. That's what Paul is talking about when he says in Ephesians 5 and 18. Remember that? He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes over into because he understands that the Spirit, that the Christian has to be saturated with the Spirit of God, that God's Spirit must fill him and move him and direct him and lead him. He says, look, let me help you understand something over in Ephesians 4 and 30. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. For by whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. The Spirit, in the Spirit. We don't pray just to pray. We pray under the leadership of the Spirit of God. See, when you pray under the leadership of the Spirit of God, when you allow the Spirit to saturate you, when you become spiritual, you don't pray for selfish things. You don't pray selfish prayers. You pray prayers that, watch this, that are spiritual. Does it make sense? He says, and he teaches us, matter of fact, Paul says in Romans 8, 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Let me help you to understand something. See, prayer is a moment of vulnerability. Prayer is you saying to God, I can't do this by myself. It's acknowledging that I need you, Lord. It's acknowledgement that, look, you can't handle it. You ain't got it, but he does. He says the Spirit aids us in our weakness. Watch what he says. Romans 8:26. He says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Watch this. With groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You missed your shout there. He says, in the Spirit. Allowing the Spirit to intercede. Allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us, because the Spirit will keep us on path. Watch this. To be in the will of God and not our own will. Amen. Spirit will stop you from asking for $1 million. And a new car. when you need salvation, and the Lord's joy. The Spirit puts things in perspective for us. Does it make sense? But look what he says. He says, in all time, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert in all perseverance, making supplication to all, for all the saints. He says to us that not only do we pray at all times and pray in the Spirit, but we pray for the saints. Look at how he says we pray for the saints. See, many of us, we think that praying for other people is, Lord, bless them. That's what I call them throw up prayers, you know. Yeah, is but he uses some words that are quite, he says, be alert, be vigilant, be watchful. Look at the lives of others. See their needs. See their struggles. See their hurts. See their brokenness. See their pain. Be vigilant. Be watchful. And pray with all perseverance. Pray with persistence. Somebody said it this way. You got to push. P-U-S-A. Pray until something happens. Be persistent. Watch this. And he says, for the saints. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. And notice the spelling. I know you all have heard me say this quite a few times. The spelling of it is P-R-A-Y. Pray for them. It's not P-R-E-Y. He didn't say pray on them. He didn't make us predators. He made us companions and fellow soldiers in whom we watch this are in battle with. We are praying for one another. I may not be able to do a whole lot of other things for you. But one thing I ought to be able to do is pray for you. I may not be, watch this, I may not be able to get along with you all the time, but I tell you what, I can always pray for you. Amen. In lieu of talking about you. In lieu of finding a reason to pull you down. In lieu of trying to dog you out. I can always pray. That almost shouted me. I can always pray. I can always pray. I can always pray. Look. Can I just say this? Let me just throw this application in real quick. Look. When you feel like going off on your neighbor, when you feel like going off on your brother. When you get frustrated, when you get to the point the way you feel like, you know what I'm saying, it's in records. Let me tell you what you do. Pray. Take that moment and just start praying. And let me just say this. I just got a tweet. I don't know who it's for, but look. Stop talking about folk and start praying for them. Stop talking about folk. I had to tell myself the other day, don't talk about them, pray for them. Stop looking for stuff. Pray for them. He says, making supplication. And supplication is requests. Making requests for them. Persistently making requests for them. For all saints. You see what it said? All saints. Didn't say just your home dogs. Didn't just say your buddies. Didn't just say people that look like you, act like you, talk like you. Said all saints. Pray persistently. Does it make sense? Don't ridicule them. Pray for them. Don't hurt their feelings. Pray for them. Don't put them down. Pray for them. I've been there too long. He says, be mindful of one another. That's what he means when he says alert. Be mindful. Brothers and sisters ought to be mindful. We ought to, look, we say this, you know, when one hurt, we ought to all hurt. Well, you can't hurt when I'm hurting if you're not mindful of my hurt. Does it make sense? You can't hurt when I'm hurting. If you distance yourself and keep yourself from embracing me, and you can't understand. Well, we'll probably never understand each other's pain. But one thing is for certain: we ought to be able to empathize and see brokenness and pray for one another. Here's what we ought to do. We ought to designate moments for which we pray. Because every believer must pray. Designate moment. Designate time. Look, choose a time in the day. Choose a time in the day that's set aside for you and God. Start off. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that some of us don't pray like we ought to pray, so it's going to be hard to really get started. So you want to bite off more than you can chew. So look, start off. With 5 minutes. That's designated. Whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, whenever it is, that time is that. Look, that's time you turn the cell phone off, you turn the computer off, you turn your friends off, and you set that time aside as prayer time. Designate a moment when it's for you and God alone. Yeah, amen. Reverend, I don't know what to say. Here's what you do. You can just start off by saying, Lord, I'm here. And I just want to say thank you. And just sit there for the 5 minutes. Set your little alarm. 5 minutes. You're just going to sit there with the Lord. And I promise you, while you're sitting there, the Lord will... the spirit has started moving something in there. You start saying something. You might even start crying. Don't get scared. But you designate time for you and God alone. Many friendships would be stronger if people prayed. Relationships would be stronger if people prayed. The church would be stronger if we pray. Designate time to pray. Here's another thing y'all do. Look, make a prayer list. Write down the names of people that you're going to pray for. Start writing down names. You may not be writing down everybody's name today, but you know, you got a prayer list. You just keep adding to it. Keep adding to the list. And now, when you go to your 5 minutes every day, you just start going over the prayer list and just start praying for folk on the prayer list. And then there may be some things that you're praying for in the life of others. Pray for it. You may see someone who has, you know, I mean, just may see someone who's going through some particular problem in their life, and you may just say, Lord, help them with that problem. You may see other people that may be struggling with some addiction or struggling with this or struggle, and you just say, Lord, help them and bring them out of that addiction. Make a prayer list. Things and people. Does this make sense? Yes, sir. Why is this? Why is this important? Because every believer must have a prayer life.
Amen.
Every believer must pray. Here's the second thing that Paul teaches us. Paul teaches us that every believer must pray, but then here's the second thing he teaches us, verses 19 and 20. He teaches us that believers must pray for their leader. I knew you weren't going to like that, but it's in the text. Look at the text. He says, and also for me. Remember, Paul is leading the church. And Paul is, watch this, away in prison. And he's writing them, and he says, pray for me. Now, Paul was a different type of pastor, I believe, and this was a different type of church because, you know, they didn't get rid of Paul because he was in jail. He was in jail and he was still pastor. Amen. You know, I say that because, you know, folks, some of us, you know what I'm saying, we look for stuff, you know. He changed the windows. Let's get rid of them. He don't wear ties. Let's get rid of them. You know what I'm saying? Little stuff, little things. But here's Paul, who's in jail for spreading the gospel, for doing the work of the Lord, and he's saying to the church, pray for me. He says, pray for me. And watch what he says. He says, pray for me, what? That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the God. Pray for me that I may receive word from the Lord. Every believer ought be praying for their leader. Every saint, every church member. Look, the pastor ought be somewhere on your prayer list. Amen. Not on your sick'em list, you know. The list where, the sick'em list. You know what the sick'em list is, right? That's the list where you meet with a few folk, you get them all riled up, you know what I'm saying, so they can start, you know, hurling rocks at the pastor, and you just stand back. Not your sick'em list. He ought be on your prayer list. Not your call a meeting list. We got to get him right. Let the Lord get him right. Pray. I know I'm just telling what's in the text. He said, pray for me that I will receive the word of God. And watch what he says, that I will open my mouth boldly. That I won't be scared to say what thus said the Lord. He said, pray for my strength. While I'm here, chained to these soldiers. While I'm on arrest, while I'm in jail, pray that I will still have the wherewithal and the courage to speak what God says. Every Christian, every church member, every believer ought want their pastor to speak the word of God. Regardless if it hurt their feelings. Pastor, tell the truth. Lord, pray. Lord, help him to preach your word. Don't, Lord, not himself, but your word. Not his ideas, but your word. And if it hit me, Lord, help me to be fixed. He says, pray for me. And Paul's desire was to spread the gospel of God. But then he says, for which I am an ambassador in chain. He says, I'm chained, but I'm yet preaching. He says, I'm chained, but I'm yet holding on. He says, I'm chained, but I'm yet doing God's will. I'm still his ambassador. He says, my present situation or my present circumstance doesn't take away from who I am.
Pray that the Lord, pray for your leader, that the Lord will continue to mold and strengthen him to be everything he desires him to be. Pray that he's strengthened. He says, Paul was in jail for preaching the gospel. He was in jail. He didn't throw rocks in anybody's windows. He didn't hit nobody. He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel, and he was in jail for preaching the gospel. Which really tells us that there will be moments, even as believers, that telling the gospel, preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God may get you in some hot water. Amen. It'll get you in some. So see, don't let folk fool you. Don't let folk try to pretend like, you know what I'm saying, that just because you're a preacher, you're a deacon, or you a member, or you are a child of God, that you won't have some struggles and some pains and some hurts and some things to happen to you for the sake of God. Don't let people fool you. Because it will happen. Paul says, pray that even while in my circumstances, even while I'm dealing with the struggles of life, even while I am captive by the world, even while I am, while it seems that Satan is attempting to attack my life, keep praying for me.
He says that I may declare it boldly and speak as I ought to speak.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Here's the application. Continue to pray for the leaders of the church. Not just the pastor, because the pastor's not the only leader. But pray for your deacons. Look, pray for the deacons.
Amen.
Don't put them down. Pray for them. Don't speak illly against them. Pray for them. You know, we say crazy stuff. Like, they just yes men. What you want them to say no to? they weak. They're not weak. They're bold men who are willing to lead the church in the direction that God has set. Pray for them. Pray for those who lead ministries. Pray for them. They have challenges. Just think about it. They have to lead people like you. Pray for them. Pray that God would use them and continue to strengthen them, that they would do God's will and be effective in our lives, and we will go where God wants us to go. Pray for them. No, don't talk about them. Don't meet on them. Don't make stuff up on them. Don't get mad at them because they're the leader. That might be why you're not the leader, because you're too mad about who is the leader. And if you can't pray for your leader, how do you expect to be a leader? Pray for your leader. They have to deal with, watch this, let me tell you what they have to deal with. I already told you they have to deal with you, but look, they have to deal with They have to deal with their home life. They have to deal with their job. They have to deal with this world. They have to deal, watch it. They have to deal with sickness just like you do. They have to deal with pain just like you do. And on top of that, they have to come to church and help lead us in the direction, by hearing from God, by in the direction that God wants us to be. That's a lot for leaders, isn't it? So the next time you feel like you want to get them told, pray for them. The next time you want to be mad because they didn't do it the way you thought they ought to did it, pray for them. It didn't make any sense. Look, somebody must have prayed for me last night. Pray for your leaders. Here's another thing. The text is helping us to understand that not only should we pray for our leaders, but watch this. But ask your leaders, what can I pray for you about? Is there anything that you're dealing with, or is there anything that you're praying about that I can pray in concert with you about? Why do we do this? Because that's what believers do. Believers have a prayer life. And no one is exempt from our list. Pray for your leader's children. Pray for your leader's family. They have family problems just like you have family problems. Does it make sense? The pastor hurts just like you hurt. People cut him off in the road just like they cut you off in the road. Does it make sense? It's sobering, isn't it? When you think about it, Paul is saying that prayer should be something that every believer possesses with no exemption. Look, we may not all be able to sing. And all of us can't sing, no matter how we try. All of us don't have the same talents. All of us don't have the same abilities. But we all possess the same equipment, and which is called prayer. We can all pray for one another. We can all pray for one another. Amen. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. While he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the scripture teaches that he went and he prayed three times. Each time he went a little further, it says that he prayed and he had his disciples come with him. He said, hey y'all, won't y'all pray with me? He went to pray, came back. They were asleep. He said, wait a minute now. You mean y'all can't stay up for an hour and pray? He said, pray with me. Then he said, go on and rest. And he went and prayed. And even while he was praying, here's what Jesus said. He says, Father, if there's a way, take this cup from me. But then the scripture says, he said, but wait a minute, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus exemplifies a couple of things. You ought to be able to pray even when nobody else is praying with you and praying for you. And you ought to be able to pray even when you don't see a way out of it. And understand, and watch this, you ought to pray with the understanding that it's not your will, but the will of God. When all is said and done, when you've gone as far as you can go, remember one thing, that prayer says, I submit to the divine will of God. Okay, all right, you didn't get that? This is how Big Mama said it. Big Mama said it like this. God said it, and that's enough. When we pray, let me help you understand, God doesn't always answer us the way that we think he ought to answer us. God doesn't always say yes, and he doesn't always say no. But he will say yes, and he will say no. And there's sometimes God won't say yes or no. He'll just say, wait a while. But through and through, whatever God says, you need to learn how to accept what he said and keep it pushing, baby. We pray not for our own will, but for the will of God. We pray because we know that God has it all in control. We follow the example of Christ. Christ didn't pray and say, Lord, get them and get them and get them. He said, Lord, thy will be done. And here's my question to you. Do you pray? Do you believe in prayer? Here's my challenge to you. Pray. When life is going well, pray. When life gets rough, pray. When you can't see your way, pray. When you can see your way, pray. Pray, pray, pray. I don't know who wrote the song, but they were right. When they said, just a little prayer of faith goes a long way. Just keep the faith. God bless you. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless you and we magnify you because we know that you are God. We submit to your divine will. We come today, Father, asking for forgiveness for those moments and those times when we've not been in your will and we've attempted to do things our own way. We've neglected what you've said and stood on our own thoughts and understanding. Today, Father, we commit ourselves to praying. We commit ourselves to designating time to pray. We commit ourselves today to pray for one another. We make a commitment to pray for our leaders, Lord. We're going to pray for our spouses and children. And Lord, we want to be what you want us to be. And that can only happen when we communicate with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us extend the privileges of the church.